it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Wednesday after Super Tuesday. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing good.
And we're told, well, when you got to Super Tuesday, it'd be over. Well, it may be over for the other guy. Yeah! Tell that to the folks in Virginia. Yeah! North Carolina. Yeah! Alabama. Yeah! Tennessee. Yeah! Oklahoma, Arkansas, Minnesota.
Well, it's really good. He got all the states right, but you may want to get a new microphone there.
Yeah.
That sounded just a little bit distorted. Here's Bernie Sanders.
Tonight, I tell you with absolute confidence, we are going to win the Democratic nomination.
Nope.
And we are going to defeat the most dangerous president in the history of this country.
No matter how many delegates we win tonight, we have done something no one else thought was possible. In just 3 months, we've gone from 1% of the polls to being a contender for the Democratic nomination for president.
I'm sorry. I couldn't.
Wait a minute.
I shouldn't be laughing in the middle of it. At least give them that, you know, one. We should give them at least one audio cut without laughing. But I just couldn't help it.
For most people, it would be impossible. Yeah, for most people, they wouldn't have a half a billion dollars to waste on losing.
That was Michael Bloomberg, of course. Here's Elizabeth Warren, already in Michigan, getting ready for next week.
You've got exactly 1 week until you start voting. As you know, right now, voting is going on in California and Massachusetts, pretty much still all over this country. I know results will still keep coming in through the night.
Well, very good. She's explaining us how it works, that people are voting, and then by the end of the night, we will get results.
Yes. Thank you. I told you she's a school teacher. I told you. She's a fifth grade school teacher.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, man.
Let people know, Texas and Maine still have not been called yet. All right? Everything else has been called. And Sanders wins California, Biden wins North Carolina, Biden wins Massachusetts, Sanders wins Colorado, Biden wins Alabama, Biden wins Arkansas, Sanders wins Vermont, Sanders wins Utah.
Wait, Sanders won Vermont?
Yes.
That's a shocker.
I know. Biden wins Oklahoma, Biden wins Tennessee, Biden wins Minnesota, Biden wins Virginia. Texas still out. And for some reason, Texas is going backwards. I was just reading Real Clear Politics. They were at 67%, and I refreshed, and now they're at 65%. So
New York Times has 77% reporting right now.
Okay, they just must have updated it, yeah. and I didn't get the update here yet. So what is it with 77%?
The percentage is Biden has 31.7 over Bernie, who has 29.3.
And still not called yet.
Okay. Still haven't called Maine. New York Times has 71% reporting out of Maine. I was looking at the states in terms of the breakdown. Warren was only viable, and I mean just barely viable, in five states.
Including barely viable. Oh, no. Okay. She had 20.9% in Massachusetts. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, New York Times is reporting 22% in Massachusetts.
Okay.
But that's the best state that she did in. It was expected that she would do well there. Of course, her home state. You look at Colorado, Maine. Of course, Maine hasn't been called yet. But Colorado, Maine, Minnesota. What was the other one? Utah. She didn't get out of the teens in any state except her own, and that was 22%. So it's interesting. There was a rumor out that the Bloomberg campaign would reassess tomorrow. Well, which is now today. And it makes you wonder if there's going to be a dropout, if the party's trying to make a deal with him so Biden can go on for the rest of March. I don't see Bloomberg dropping out. I didn't see anything other than, you know, we'll reassess the campaign. What does that mean? Because you and I talked about this. You know, if he's in for the full billion, why would he drop out now?
Well, but none of this is a surprise. I'm looking at the numbers and I'm like, okay, California, Bloomberg had, 18, roughly, and again, with 32% in here, I'm looking at realclearpolitics.com and they're for some reason not updating. They were before, but I'm looking at it, 15.9%, 9.7, 13, 11, or that's 12 there, 8. I mean, basically, that's what he's been doing. Look, Colorado, he had 21 I have him at 21.4 with 63% in. But just when you look at it overall, he's basically polling the way his numbers were, correct? The difference is Buttigieg and Klobuchar being out, and it looks like a significant number of those votes went to Biden.
Yeah, right.
And if you take the Bloomberg votes, and give them to give them to Biden, the majority of the votes, well, then he even has a bigger win.
Right. Yeah.
Even if you took Warren's votes and gave them to Sanders, and I don't know how many of Warren's votes would go to Sanders. I just I'd have to look at the second choice. Across the board for it.
But yeah, I can't imagine them going to Biden, but I could be wrong. I mean, can you see any of her supporters going to Biden?
No, I can't, but I can't. Going through in just the last couple of days and just hearing, and again, it's all anecdotal. When you hear from the Democrat voter, you have no idea where their mindset is.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay, you're just... I like their face. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Moe for Clo.
Yeah.
That's where started. Well, they were attacking. I wasn't going to vote for Bernie, but they were attacking him. And therefore, since MSNBC was attacking him, I decided to vote for Bernie.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't really deeply ideological at that particular point. Now, I do believe, and there was a great column yesterday, Byron York had it. It mirrors what we have said, talked about the cultural divide that exists in the Democrat Party right now, that we talk about 2016 and the Democrat versus Republican races and the fact of the cultural divide between Democrats and Republicans. And the point being made, it's something that we made, the difference between the Sanders campaign and the Biden campaign, that if you actually look at Biden, you look at Biden's history, Biden actually, if you look at the history of legislation that he has supported, would come across as a moderate.
Yeah.
When you look now, he's apologizing for everything. He's apologizing, but does he really mean it?
Right.
Because if you go back and you look at what Biden actually, when it comes to law enforcement, when it came to illegal immigration, he actually, how he has voted is absolutely rejected from the left of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And York was talking about, you go to a Biden rally, they say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
They say a prayer.
Right.
There's none of that. Absolutely none of that. And it's something that we've said before, that the cultural divide that exists in the Democrat Party, that we believe that the party now is far left, but we have differentiated between the party and the actual voter. And we've asked this question, how many voters, actually Democrat voters, do not like at all what is going on in the Democrat Party and reject communist sympathizers? Example, yeah. the last week that, look, we want more free stuff, but we still believe in America.
Right.
We still want a bigger security blanket, but we still believe in America. We don't reject America completely. Bernie Sanders rejects the message he's sending out is, I reject America completely. It's all gone to hell. It's never been good. It never will be good unless you elect me and we put in a socialist slash communist form of government. And that's the message being sent out. And is that finally, I said it last week because I did, when Sanders would not let go on the communist sympathizer narrative,
mm-hmm.
I just went, I can't believe he's doing this. Because there's no reason for him to talk in that particular language. The people that like him aren't going anywhere.
Right.
They're going to like him no matter what.
Right.
He needed to expand and say, look, we can win and we can change this country to make it right. No. He's got to go beyond that. And he started talking about 3 weeks ago about, you know, transforming this country completely. And I just went, wow, there was no reason to go there. And he went there. And I do believe that it did damage to him because there's nothing that Biden has done. Biden hasn't all of a sudden become this non-gaffe, well-articulated politician, you know, stumping to become president because of this, and this. He's been all over the place on issues.
Right.
Because he knows that he believed he could not sell to the Democrat Party the moderate that he has voted upon, what his record has shown his entire career.
His campaign manager, Corn Pop, spoke a little bit ago and said that he plans to go on to Saskatchewan and campaign. I was waiting for him when he was shouting out those states. It was like, oh, that's impressive. You said during the pre-show meeting, well, he remembered them all.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, but he also mentioned Manitoba. But the problem is I think, you know, does this energize Bernie? I guess the question, does this energize Bernie's base? Or do they feel a bit defeated?
Well, I know they're, I feel right, probably right now, because they view it and say, look, it's still and again, I don't know, but the delegate count isn't going to change much with Texas and whatever, because the voting is so close.
Right.
So no matter what, it's still going to sort of remain the same.
Yeah, the ratio.
Ratio, which I still believe puts it into a brokered convention.
Yeah.
So, again, you've still got a lot of time, and there's still a lot of time for a lot of Biden gaffes. And I think it was Brady Hume said, look, he's just one gaffe from destroying his campaign. It's been a great comeback for him, but has it been a comeback for him, or has Bernie sabotaged his own campaign, I guess is a question that you would have to ask, making it clear to a significant number of Democrats who still, you know, remember, and older Democrats especially, who look back and say, well, I sort of like Clinton and I sort of like what he did. And remember, there was welfare reform. There was, you know, you can look back and say that what Clinton actually did, that he now regrets everything, as mm-hmm. we've talked about before. But if you look at that, that would be an extremely moderate Democrat. And are the older Democrats coming out and stating, look, we don't want a revolution. We still believe in America. I was looking at Byron York had it in South Carolina. Military veterans, 15% of those who voted in the South Carolina primaries, Democrats, were veterans, and it was like 56-17 or something like that, mm-hmm. that they voted for Biden. Mm-hmm. They don't like the message that's coming from Bernie Sanders. And we've always talked about the difference between the party, which has gone far left,
mm-hmm.
and the actual voter. And we said, we don't believe that all the actual people who vote Democrat, they may be supporting socialist slash communist ideology, but it's not actually what they agree on when you talk to them. It's not what they want. They don't look at, you know, the United States as being a complete failure. They just, well, okay, yeah, we're doing good, but we'd rather have a bigger security blanket and we want more free stuff.
Right.
It's free stuff without destroying the nation. It's free stuff and still believing in America.
Right. Exactly. All right. Hopefully, we'll get somebody calling Texas before we get out of here hours from now.
Oh no, no, no! We don't want to go. Well, hold it. We don't want to compare Texas to Iowa, do we?
Yeah. Oh man, it's going to be a recount.
So we got a great show ahead. Super Tuesday results. What happens now with Bloomberg and Warren is, you know, talking about the cultural divide in the Democrat Party. Does it actually exist, and is this proof of it? We'll tell you about the Ukrainian judge that orders a legal probe of Joe Biden. We'll check the brokered convention forecast and a whole bunch more. Your calls and comments, if you'd like to get in, lines open now. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. We got a ton more audio coming up here and an analysis. I was just looking at some of the Texas exit polling, and it shows that young people by a huge margin going for Biden. You're talking about young Democrats, where older Democrats are not. It's not even close.
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah. If you talk about over 65 in Texas, I believe it is, it's Sanders comes in third place.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we talk about the huge cultural divide, the revolution. Do older Democrats actually want a revolution?
Mm-hmm.
No. Do the younger people want a revolution? Yes. Will the younger people turn out for Biden is the question. Even though the revolution's right there, will they turn out like older people who look at it? And, you know, we talk about the cultural revolution, which is what helped drive Trump to the presidency. Between Republicans and Democrats. And now I think the great question, and we've delved into it before, talking about the difference between the party and the actual voter out there and how many voters are actually as radical as an AOC or a Bernie Sanders. Do they really want a revolution? Do they view the United States as fundamentally flawed, or do they just want a bigger security blanket, more free stuff, but they still love America? I really believe that that's the question.
Yeah, I think it gets down to more free stuff. I really do. I think it gets down to more free stuff. They want their liberties, but they want the government. It gets back to what we have talked about for years. They want a big government, not an intrusive government.
Yes.
Big enough to give them something or everything, but they don't want them running their lives every day. Well, you can't have one without the other. And I think that's what we're getting to, is that they're delusional because they believe you can. Here's your forecast.
Showers will continue today across the South, and we can include Texas in a good amount of rain today. Some severe thunderstorms could be possible in extreme southern Texas. Potential for severe weather will extend from the Louisiana border over to the panhandle of Florida today, as colder air comes in out of Canada, meeting up with warm, moist air from the Gulf. In the Northeast, we'll see a mix of rain and snow today. Most of central Pennsylvania will be picking up some areas of light precip into the portions of central New York, where we could see an ice-snow mix. Rain for the coast from the northern Delmarva Peninsula in through New Jersey, New York City, and Boston. Again, that's all rain. Some energy moving onshore for Washington and Oregon, providing onshore rains. And part of that system will drop some heavy snow in northern Montana and Idaho. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thank you.
Don't miss a moment. The podcast is always online and on your phone. RedEyeRadioShow.com and the Red Eye Radio app.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Welcome and good morning. I did check the president's Twitter feed. Nothing.
And I think we figured out why, because that would have been a new article of impeachment, interfering with an election. All the attorney, except for the state of Texas, maybe every other attorney general from each state would have filed, an action against the president, would have taken action against the president. Of course, the House would have started new proceedings with interfering with an election.
Right. When I mean he didn't, he did tweet, but it was, it was
about Mike.
Well, that was 6 hours ago. That was before the results came in, and that was on Mini Mike and licking his dirty fingers.
The whole pizza thing.
Yeah, that thing that came out yesterday. But since the results have come in, thank you California and thank you Utah, for the president winning his primary that's really. Let me just check it again. That's really been it. He retweeted a couple of things, a Brit Hume comment, whatever, and that's really it. I mean, nothing. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's been quite quiet. There it is, from 2 hours ago. Just a Bloomberg opinion poll, but really, there it is. Okay, I had to go down a little bit. There it is. Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, other than Minnie Mike, was a loser of the night. She didn't even come close to winning her home state of Massachusetts. Well, now she can just sit back with her husband and have a nice cold beer. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest loser tonight by far is Minnie Mike Bloomberg. His political consultants took him for a ride. $700 million washed down the drain, and he got nothing for it but a nickname, Mini Mike, and complete destruction of his reputation. Way to go, Mike, and then thank you, Arkansas. Thank you, Minnesota. A couple of retweets.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Texas. Thank you, Mayhew. All right, he goes on to thank all the places that he won, and then everything else is from a lot longer ago. So
all right.
There you go. So a couple of tweets out there, but nothing about Biden, nothing about Sanders.
Do you think Warren drops out this morning?
I don't know. I mean,
she said the other day she was in it until the convention.
And we played the cut in Detroit. She's already in Michigan. Yeah. She's really looking forward to next week.
Or maybe she's looking for a house since her own home state rejected her.
Yeah,
maybe she's moving to Michigan.
I don't know. I think it's more likely that, what is it, if Bloomberg drops out, then what is the reason for Warren to stay in? Because if Bloomberg drops out, that gives Biden a huge boost.
Yes. And right now, I'm just looking at polls in Michigan, which is a week from yesterday. It's next Tuesday. And she's not even viable in the average of polls. She was, she was back in November, but she's not even viable.
Well, you could see if she was staying in order to influence if Sanders was doing great. And did great tonight, it would boost her chance of trying to petition to become vice president.
Well, okay, so there's the question. Does she need to stay in it through March to just have that consideration?
Because if Bloomberg drops out, then because here's the thing that we haven't discussed much.
Mm-hmm.
We have discussed if it's been a brokered convention and Bernie is leading.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a brokered convention and Biden's only 100 away,
yeah,
it's going to go to Biden.
Yeah, it's going to go to Biden.
It's going to go to Biden at that point.
Yeah, right.
And so if, there
because
was...
what was the poll on the superdelegates? It was like all of them but a handful were
like 10% were for Sanders.
For Sanders, right. And the rest were for Biden.
Right. So at that point, that means Biden will get it.
Yeah.
Because then there can't, if he's got the plurality, it's still not going to take away. And this is the great unknown. There's energy in the Democrat Party.
Yeah, right.
And there's going to be a significant amount of unity. I don't know how much unity, but there's going to be a significant amount because Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
All right. So you're going to have that.
Yep.
Now, what do you do? Like right now, and you were asking the question, what do Sanders people think right now? What are they thinking? They're going back, and a lot of them are still angry from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that they look at what happened 2 days ago where Buttigieg and Klobuchar got out and then endorsed it and say, mm-hmm. here it is again.
Right.
Here it is. Remember, these aren't people that believe in the Republic or believe in the democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
They're supporting somebody who is a communist sympathizer.
Mm-hmm.
All they want to do is win. And they believe that they've been treated unfairly, and right. they want to win no matter what.
Right.
Now,
right.
how that will affect them when it comes to Trump, this is my question. Do they reject a Biden as much as they reject a Trump?
Hmm.
And I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that.
Hmm.
But there is energy out there. It's why you and I have always said this is the president's to lose. But this is why we said, look, this is your second term. People
right.
are going to expect that you have become a leader. Which in the State of the Union address he has.
Yes.
Now, do we look at campaign rallies different than official functions? Yes. And has the president, in our opinion, been a lot better? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that there is a opposition, and always approach an election as if you're down by 10 points.
Right. Yep.
And, by the way, when I went today, the Democrat line was huge.
Yeah,
because for some reason in our county, the Democrats and Republicans couldn't come to an agreement to use the same machines.
I wonder why that is. We use the same machines.
And it was another two. And yeah, there was one. I went, oh, no, look at this line.
You're in Tarrant County. I'm in Dallas County. So,
and yeah, there was, this is Tarrant County exclusive
It
was like, and they both, and I read both sides. I'm not privy to what happened there, but both sides wanted their own election machines. And so, it was like a huge long line for the Democrats, Republicans. You know, you walk right in. Now, as people, just so people know, I live in a Democrat town.
Right. Yeah, I live in a blue county.
Yeah. So, I went in and the GOP supervisor went, oh, Gary McNamara. Oh, right. He knew who I was.
Right. There's a separate line for talk show hosts.
That's what I thought. But when I got there, they said Republican. And I said, yeah. And they said, you go on that side. There were two doors that opened, and it's like you go in that. We voted in the same room, but mm-hmm. we went in the other side. We were able to walk.
Right.
And it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But so it only took me a couple minutes to vote. It probably would have taken 20, 25 minutes if you were a Democrat to vote. So,
yeah.
So
it took me, it was right around the 20-minute mark.
So the excitement is there for Democrats.
Yeah.
The incentive is there to go out and vote in a primary, and in some places like Virginia, absolutely record numbers.
Yeah, right.
But they went for Biden. Mm-hmm. And so what you've got to ask yourself is this cultural divide in the Democrat Party that you don't see in the media a lot? You started seeing it the last couple of weeks
mm-hmm.
with the whole, Sanders can't win
mm-hmm.
On MSNBC. But you really haven't seen it. It's almost been universal praise for AOC, universal praise for the policies that a Bernie Sanders has been promoting. Very little angst that you have seen in the official settings. But we've always asked, what about the voter out there?
Right.
Is a voter? What about the older Democrat voter out there? Is the older Democrat voter saying, look, I'm a veteran, I fought in Nam, and this, look, I love this country. I just want more free stuff.
NBC News projecting Joe Biden to win Texas. This just came across just moments ago. They're the only ones. We'll look. I'm trying to update here at the New York Times. I don't see. Let me pull that up. No check mark by his name, but they have, let's see. Now,
three percentage points separates them that when it was at 77%. Almost,
yeah, so. It's now up to, hold on a second, 90% reporting, according to New York Times, and it's still that three percentage points. So, but NBC News calling it or projecting that Biden will win Texas. That's a big deal. It's proportional, but it is a big deal because it just gives him, you know, that added momentum. In that case, you look at it and you look at some of the other states that we have ahead of us, New York and Florida, but Florida, if Florida's coming up on the 17th, and Biden should do very well there.
I think a couple things, when the first debate for Bloomberg, when he came in and said, you know, communist and directed it towards Bernie Sanders, and at the same time that MSNBC was pounding on Sanders as a communist and socialist, and then he came out as the communist sympathizer of the late Fidel Castro and just wouldn't let go of it. And you and I were saying, how stupid is this? You've got the momentum, and we both thought that was extremely damaging for him. And I think it brought up two points. One point is you can't be a communist sympathizer when you had people from the far left coming out and saying, you can't do this. You say you're a Democrat socialist and you're separating yourself from a socialist communist, yet you're a communist sympathizer and you won't let go of it. And then some of his past statements. And I think they just looked at it, and not that the Democrats are not in love with Biden. They're right. Very unsure with the gaffes. We've said he's been extremely wishy-washy on the issues. He's trying to pull a Clinton 2.0. Well, I regret all the stuff that I voted for before. I really shouldn't have voted that way and everything. I mean, it's, again, you could see it over the last, few months that they had lost any confidence in Biden. I really think it is self-inflicted from Sanders, and he just wouldn't let it go. And it started even before the communist sympathizing. It started with, we need to transform America completely, transform America completely, transform America completely. And I think that message hit a ton of probably older Democrats who just said, this is what we don't want this. And you know something? The communist sympathizing and all that, you can't win the election against Trump on that narrative. Who's our only choice?
Right.
Who is the only choice? Who is really the only Democrat? Think about this. Democrats voted in a primary, and two out of the three people they really don't feel are Democrats. Mm. One's an independent who may caucus with the Democrats but refuses to be a Democrat, and the other is a former Republican billionaire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting times we live in. All right, your calls and comments coming up. We'd love to hear from you. So was it who called?
Texas? NBC News.
NBC News calls Texas. It's
projecting Biden will win Texas.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 of Red Eye. You want some of the split in the Democrat Party? Just an example.
All right.
Sean King from Black Lives Matter. I just happened to go on Twitter and saw this breaking. MSNBC and Maddow just reported that multiple senior officials within the Democratic Party are interfering with the primaries to stop Bernie Sanders. They reported that the party has asked Bloomberg to drop out so that Biden would have an easier time against Bernie. Rachel Maddow replies, what? I didn't report any such thing.
Wow.
And then there he is just a few minutes ago. Joe Biden is the father and primary architect of modern mass incarceration. He is a serial pathological liar in this campaign and in every campaign he's ever had. He has voted for and supported every horrible war and trade agreement imaginable. Young people loathe him. So there, you know, and when we talk about the cultural divide, I mean, it does exist. And yeah. I don't think you can discount that Bernie Sanders is viewed as the revolutionary.
No.
That is going to change an evil America. And Biden, to young Democrats who love socialist/communist Bernie Sanders and have no problem that you can label them communist socialist, they're fine with it. It's like, sure. I'm fine with it. That's what we need here in order to transform America. Their head and their mindset is completely different. Now, yeah. James Comey did... by the way, you saw that he endorsed Biden yesterday,
right. Yeah.
James Comey.
Yeah.
And what do they call it? Not the campaign manager, but the, I forgot what they call it. One of the managers came out and said, no, sorry.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio. On Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. RedEyeRadioShow.com, where we stream live or get our app and listen at your convenience whenever you wish to. Put it on your phone and listen.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Super Tuesday.
Those have been knocked down, counted out, left behind. This is your campaign. By the way, every dreamer, have hope because I'm coming and you're not going anywhere. Look, our campaign reflects the diversity of this party and this nation. And that's how it should be.
Of course, that is Joe Biden. Let us hear from Bernie.
What makes this movement unique is we are taking on the corporate establishment. We are taking on the greed of Wall Street. The greed of the drug companies who charge us the highest prices in the world.
And here's Michael Bloomberg.
If I'm the nominee, let me make you this promise. We will beat Donald Trump here in Florida and swing states around the country.
Elizabeth Warren, I guess there's a couple of audio cuts out there, but she was already in Michigan.
Yeah.
So
where she's not polling very well.
No. Oh, by the way, just so you know, Bloomberg did win American Samoa.
Oh, good for him. He also bought American Samoa.
$1 million.
He just wrote a check. Looks like pretty much every outlet is now called Texas for Biden. So they've got the blue check mark set up there at Real Clear Politics. New York Times also calling it for Biden, and nothing yet on Maine. Still, New York Times has that at 71% reporting, but that's the only state that's out there right now.
I guess it's only fair to play a cut from Elizabeth Warren, right?
Yeah, I mean, we should hear from her, yeah, before she drops out. Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Elizabeth Warren, and I'm the woman who's going to beat Donald Trump.
Well.
You said that a couple of weeks ago. So far, that hasn't worked for you.
No. I would have to think that the money is drying up very quickly. Mayor Pete's money was fairly robust until recently, and this is what happens in the primaries. People start betting on the winner. You start uh, you who was it, Pat Sajak, who tweeted, the good thing is that when the candidate drops out, if you donated to their campaign, you get your money back, and hashtag fake news. Sajak has been very funny during this cycle. I don't know, again, you and I talked about it. Does she stay in to be relevant, to be the possible Veep pick for a Bernie? Because I don't think she would be the pick for Joe Biden.
No, I don't either. You and I talked about that, and again, so early, but just said if it was Biden, I'd go with Klobuchar.
Yeah.
Just because it's a safe pick. Now, if it's Sanders, he can go with he can go with Elizabeth Warren, and I don't think he would have any problem doing it. The problem is if Biden does not win the nomination but has a plurality, well, then there's no excuse. He will be the nominee at that point. So if the path is there, and as Elizabeth Warren is keeping Sanders from going there, then what's her motivation to stay in?
Right.
How does she play her cards there? So look, these things change real quick. You can be out there promoting as Buttigieg was, we're going to win this thing. 2 hours later, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
So these things can end very, very quickly. Oh, rapid response director.
Okay.
I'd mentioned earlier that the new position that seems to be in all of these campaigns, and this is when James Comey came out and endorsed Biden. Mm. And the rapid response director was like, nah, no thanks. We don't need your endorsement. We really don't want your endorsement.
Yeah. Right.
So apparently, even when it comes to a Joe Biden, whose administration, Obama administration, was part of the Obama administration, he was part of the same administration, the Biden campaign is saying to James Comey, nah, sorry, we don't know where this is going. And then again, Comey, I was expecting Comey to come back and say, well, on second thought, maybe you're right. We're not sure where the Ukrainian thing's going with you either. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. It was the rapid response director, and I started thinking, what's a rapid response director? I went, oh, okay. Social media director, though, who is authorized to give the rapid response, which means the Trump administration just announced their rapid response person, and it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But rapid response director, that's what it is. It's okay. The person who immediately will come out, because you're busy doing stuff. Something appears on social media, the rapid response director comes out and says, no, sorry, we don't want your endorsement.
Yeah, and by the way, to the people the picture came out of, the video came out of Biden and Beto eating at a Whataburger. For the AP, that's not a chicken place. They do have chicken. The clue would be the burger half of their name, Whataburger. That was hilarious. You know where that came from, right? That came from Beto when he took off in Texas, you know, when he started to become the rock star. Mm-hmm. He was skateboarding, ice skating, whatever he was doing in a Whataburger parking lot. But we take that very seriously at the Associated Press. You need to get that right. That's fake news. Chicken joint, is that what they call it? Chicken joint. It's not a chicken joint. Chicken joint.
All right, 866-90-RED-EYE. If you'd like to get in, a lot of people wish to comment here today. Let's head to you. We go to Jeff in, I'm assuming it's Birmingham, Alabama, and not England. Jeff, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, now. I mean, the big news of tonight was Bloomberg's stunning victory in American Samoa. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I understand, was unavailable for comment. I think they said something about they were voting on who to boil for dinner because he looked a little soft. But, you know, I was looking forward to a debate between Susan Collins and Amy Klobuchar to be held in front of 50 incontinent chihuahuas. It would be nice to see how it all shook out. You know, I really miss the former White House press secretary. I think it was wonderful how the Donald.
All right, we're having problems.
We're losing your call there.
We're losing your. We're we're losing your call and you may be losing your mind.
But speaking of Alabama, Jeff Sessions is going to be in a runoff now to reclaim his seat. I thought about that, you know, because he was, you know, he's trying to get back in the Senate. So here's a guy who was the only person. I mean, he was the first member in the House or Senate to get on board with Trump, I think. Right. Then, you know, then Trump let him go. Is he seen as, you know, the as anti-Trump? Is he seen as, you know, a guy that isn't in Trump's favor with the people in Alabama? I
don't know. I don't know how you look at a Jeff Sessions.
I know, exactly. Is it good or bad? You know, because
normally I have an immediate reaction, and you said that I went,
I know it's hard to measure. I would love to know the sentiment of the voter. Is it because, you know, is he forced into this runoff because he fell out of, you know, favor with Trump? Would he have been stronger had he, I don't know, stayed in as attorney general and then, you know, left at an appropriate time? It wouldn't, if he went out a separate way, a different way, rather.
Remember, he's running against the former Auburn University football coach.
Yeah.
Who got 33% of the Republican primary votes.
Yeah.
Sessions got 32.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it's Auburn, then I guess we have a winner. They take football very seriously there.
Back to you we go. Let's go to Tony in Waxahachie, Texas. Tony, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. It's good to talk to you guys. Oh, you roll off like five good jokes in a row and expect me to remember what I was going to talk about. Bernie Sanders, tonight, earlier on the show, you played a part that said, where he said, you know, I'm very confident and you know, to beat the worst president in the United States. And it sounded like a swan song to me. I think it was going along fine, and all of a sudden, all the media, all the pundits, all the Democratic Party, everybody turned 90 degrees and went towards Biden. And I think if I can see it, he can see it. I think he's trying to line up the ducks to get some political favors, because I think he's finished as a presidential candidate and probably as his politics altogether.
Mm. I believe it ends if Sanders can't win this nomination. It ends his chances of ever being president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's considering, you know, what the political compensation would be for him. I don't think Sanders wishes to strike a deal. He's a senator. He's been a senator. He doesn't. I don't think he has. I would be surprised. Never say never, but I'd very be surprised if he wanted a position in anybody's administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he would.
As a senator, he gets to say whatever he wants. He doesn't have to believe in anybody else. I don't see that he's trying to make a deal or trying to get political. Because what's the political favor?
Right.
That you'll promote legislation down the line that would be Medicare for all?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen with the Biden. I don't know where else you would go with him, that Biden would come out and say, well, you know something, I am president of the United States, and that Fidel Castro guy, you know, he wasn't a bad dude. That probably isn't going to happen. Now, I know I'm exaggerating it there, but I'm trying to make a point. I don't know what Biden needs if Biden believes he's got the numbers to get a plurality, which means he gets the nomination. I don't know what he thinks he needs or his campaign thinks they need from a Bernie Sanders.
Right.
So is that.
I think the point of what happened the other day with the endorsements really was the party trying to separate themselves from Bernie. And I don't think you're going to see, you know, he could get speaking time at the convention, you know, along with AOC. AOC would probably introduce him. He gets some stage time at the convention, and then that's about done. I don't think there's any political favor to be swapped. I think you look at, you know, the way that it went down the other day with the party seemingly coming together. Not that Klobuchar, Mayor Pete and Beto are, you know, these huge, huge names, but that was a concerted effort. And you're going to see more and more endorsements come the way, go Biden's way, I think, in Congress as well. He leads, in fact, in congressional endorsements. So I think Bernie just kind of fades off and, you know, retires at some point as a senator and former candidate. That's it. Two-time loser.
Again, though, it's not over. As Britt Hume said, Biden is one gaffe away from destroying his campaign.
Well, and here's the problem that you and I discussed yesterday, because this would have to be the consideration for Michael Bloomberg. You know, if they go in, if there's a major gaffe or something comes down with the whole Ukraine thing, Burisma or, you know,
right,
any of it, that any of that could, you know, hurt Biden very badly. There's another 1,090 between today and the 31st of this month. There's another 1,091 delegates. Now you look at the states that are out there, and Biden does pretty well in those states, but we don't have recent polls in a lot of them. But I think he has momentum going into them. But again, even if he's got that momentum and he goes in with a plurality, and all of a sudden, because you're looking at what, roughly, there's a month, there's 5-6 weeks maybe between the last primary and the convention. I mean, if something comes down, or if he gaffes, or has a really horrible run on the road, it could tank his numbers.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on Road Check 2020. Vehicle inspections. Road Check 2020 is emphasizing driver requirements this year, but don't think that'll be the only area inspectors will focus on from May 5th through the 7th. Inspectors will typically conduct the North American Standard Level 1 inspection. It's a 37-step procedure that also includes vehicle fitness, in addition to the driver requirements. Since the inspections conducted during road check are considered standard, you need to be sure that important systems like your brake, fuel, and exhaust systems are operating properly. They'll also look at components like tires, windshield wipers, and lights to ensure they're working as they should. Inspections shouldn't surprise you during road check, but you should be ready, given the increased odds you'll be pulled over for one sometime during those 72 hours. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. If you'd like to get in, we'd love to hear from you. By the way, for the March 10th primaries, I look at all the polling and say, it doesn't matter. You've got to start fresh from today
to
look at these polls.
Right.
I was just looking at some of the main polls, which, by the way, it's too close to call still in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Biden has a very, very slight lead of a little over 1,000 votes.
Right.
In that, from very quickly, let me just go to yesterday. Sanders absolutely destroying Biden in the two last polls before by 9 and 19, but it included all the candidates.
Yeah,
it included everybody, and so everything now changes for the March 10th primaries, 6 days from now.
You know, again, I really have to wonder, because you look at the fact that Warren was only viable in five of the states on Super Tuesday. The best state she did in she did was in her home state, and she didn't do very well there. She only got 22%. But she was barely viable in a few other states and then went up to like 17% in a couple. So a total of five states where she was viable. You don't have the path. Does she need to stay in till convention or even through the end of March to be considered a VP pick if Bernie were the nominee? I don't know that she does.
Well, but I guess my point would be with where you're seeing everything going right now, the way the momentum is going, and it is only going one way, and that's Biden's way, that, you know, right now. Now, things can always change.
Right,
you don't know what's going to happen. But if there aren't any major changes, what is the purpose of staying in if by the end of March your candidate has no chance of getting the plurality?
Right, exactly.
They don't speak boomer. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. I got had a couple audio cuts I wanted to play, but unsuccessfully they just won't load up for me. So we're going to wait on the audio coming up here. But just some analysis that I want to get, because Britt Hume making the comment. How many voters out there think that Joe Biden is senile or getting there? Optics matters.
Yeah.
And when you consistently have gaffes all the time, that's something that when you get into the general election, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to worry about, especially if it continues. So we'll get to that here in just a little bit. I saw this yesterday and getting more correspondence in here that, you know, look, Bernie Sanders never really wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. There's no way you can objectively look at the last 4 years and not say that Bernie Sanders doesn't want to win the presidency.
Yeah, no, he definitely wants it. Definitely wants it.
He has been planning this for the last... Number one, he's been planning it because he believes he's the best shot for a socialist/communist to become president of the United States. That would be the ultimate victory for somebody who has the Marxist mindset of a Bernie Sanders. Number two, he's been sitting there for the last 4 years and his supporters totally ticked off. You saw it. I'll see if I get the audio cut. You saw that Donna Brazile told the Republican chairwoman to go to hell yesterday when it brought up about, you know, being rigged. Hey, you don't need to say go to hell to somebody who's a Republican. Deal with Bernie Sanders supporters right there. They believe that they were ripped off in the last one. And whether it's legit or not doesn't matter, because now you look at what happened the other day with Beto and Klobuchar, and they all jump on Joe Biden, and you will have, you know, whether it's a Michael Moore out there. Boy, I can't wait to hear his comments on this.
Yeah.
Very rare that I want to hear Michael Moore's comments on anything, but it's like he's been out there saying that. Remember, yesterday we played the audio cut where he said, oh, South Carolina is not a representation of the United States. No, but it is a representation of the South.
Yeah, right.
That Biden took.
Yes.
Slam dunk.
Well, I mean, after Super Tuesday, is it more of a representation of the United States? I mean,
yeah.
You look at it. I mean, he won 9 of the 15 states.
But it's coming out. The powers that be are taking it away from Bernie again. And that exists out there with Bernie Sanders supporters. How that will affect the November election, still too far away. Could it? Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. By the way, I want to apologize to the AP. It wasn't the AP who called Whataburger a chicken joint. It was Reuters. Same thing. But you look at what happened tonight.
I'm sorry. Hold it. Let me pause to laugh here for a moment.
Fake news. Okay. It was fake news from me.
Very good.
On fake news. The you look at the big sway in momentum here. They still have a problem within the party. They have a Joe Biden problem. Because, you know, here's one thing. The gaffes weren't getting much airplay except on social media, and usually it was by people on the right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That changes when you're the guy. You know, Bernie, you know, had to, you know, he doubled down on the whole defending Castro thing. And, you know, the media was going after him. Now, of course, a significant portion of the left doesn't want him to be the nominee. But when you're gaffing every day as badly as Joe Biden is, it's going to be a much bigger story. So this will be the gaffe vetting, I guess you could call it, between now and convention. Because he had lost so much momentum. I mean, a huge cliff event after Iowa. And we said, you know, it depends on if he still does well in the South. You see him doing very well in the South. He's likely going to do very well in Florida coming up on the 17th. He took Texas. Again, if he becomes the guy, those gaps are going to become bigger stories. And I don't know. And then you got to bring in the Jeffrey Toobin comment from a couple of months ago. We don't know what to do about the whole Hunter Biden story. Well, yeah, you do.
Here it is. And again, not getting a lot of coverage, but it will get more coverage. Ukrainian court. This is from Just the News, which is John Solomon's website. Judge orders legal probe of former vice president, forcing ouster of prosecutor investigating gas firm employing his son Hunter. A Ukrainian court has ordered an investigation into whether Joe Biden violated any laws when he forced the March 2016 firing of the country's chief prosecutor. The ruling could revive scrutiny of Hunter Biden's lucrative relationship with an energy firm in that corruption-plagued country, just as the former vice president's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination is surging after a lackluster start. Former prosecutor General Viktor Shokin, who has long alleged he was fired because he would not stop investigating the Burisma Holdings firm that employed Hunter Biden, secured the ruling last month. Ukrainian officials confirmed that the State Department investigation has since compiled and initiated the probe. The ruling does not mention Biden by name, but court filings by Shokin's lawyers that led to the decision show that the former prosecutor has alleged the commission of a criminal offense against him by Joseph Biden, a citizen of the United States of America in Ukraine and abroad, interference in the activities of a law enforcement officer. Ukrainian officials said the court-ordered investigation could include a review of non-public documents and possibly even interviews. The point there is you have, number one, you've got Shokin, who, again, it was Biden over and over again stating, well, look, the prosecutor was corrupt. That's been the Democrats' narrative. Well, the prosecutor that they claim has been corrupt is the one who wants this investigation, which means he's opening himself up, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the danger that Biden faces, there. So even though, you know, I look at yesterday and I look at it and I see if you were going to come to a conclusion of Super Tuesday is number one, there is a huge split in the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge split you have, and it looks like the exit polling seems to indicate that the huge split is between older Democrats and younger Democrats.
Right, right.
It's a cultural war that exists now. We saw it in 2016 between Republicans and Democrats. Now we're seeing it with the Democrat voter. You and I have said for the longest time that the far left now runs the party. We said there have to be a significant number of Democrat voters there that look at it and say, well, we don't agree with where our party is going.
Mm.
We didn't know. We've never been able to quantify, you know, or qualify, you know, exactly what that percentage is. But we have said when you look at it, and I had mentioned Byron York's column yesterday, Real Clear Politics has it, if you look at it, where he talks about the cultural divide now that exists in the Democrat Party, which you knew was going to have to happen.
Right.
If you're going to have victims and oppressors and victims, and keep expanding it, you're eventually going to cause a split. And you're eventually going to cause a split, you know, to a number of factions. But the big split that you see here culturally, I believe, is, and I think the worst enemy, the worst thing that happened in the last couple of weeks to Bernie Sanders was Bernie Sanders.
Right.
I don't know whether he started buying the hype. They can do that. You know, politicians can do that. Because you and I both said when he started coming out, and it seemed like every speech, before he became the communist the dictatorial communist leader sympathizer, he was talking about we need to transform. He was sending the message out that the country is completely broken, has always been broken, and it needs to be changed with government to take over industry, to take over, industry, property, you know, your wealth, everything across the board needs to be run by a completely different form of government than we have right now.
Right.
And you and I started just talking about that, saying, does it seem like he's going even further left? And then the Cuba thing came up and the Castro thing came up. And that's when we just said, I can't believe he's doing this. I believe he may be cutting his own political throat by doing it, because he's coming across as an absolute radical. And not even in the way that we know that Obama came across as a radical in the first primary against Hillary Clinton early on. We've talked about that before. What other president actually said, I'm going to skyrocket electricity prices. That's pretty radical. You probably couldn't say that today and get away with it, because you're not saying electricity prices are going to go up, but we're going to tax the rich and give it to you free. He didn't even say that.
No.
He said, I'm going to skyrocket electricity prices.
Right.
So, but by the time you got to the general election, he had moderated. As we said, Bernie can't moderate. It's impossible. And when he started talking about, you know, the good things that happen in communist societies, and we said, you know, he's going to be, if he becomes the candidate, he is going to be vetted like you can't believe for all these statements, and the vetting is going to come from Republicans and by some Democrats. Well, some of the vetting, a lot of the important vetting last week on Bernie Sanders, and I say important in the context that it hurt him, came from some of the most liberal Democrats that I know, that said you cannot be promoting yourself as a Democrat socialist and trying to define it in a different way. No, we're about democracy, and we're about just the socialism we're talking about is Denmark and the Nordic countries, which of course it is not, because they're not advocating the ownership of industry, but right. It didn't matter. That's how he was trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm about democracy, 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 because he started on that narrative, and then next thing you know, he is endorsing, or not endorsing, but he is talking about the highlights of a communist dictator in Cuba, the late communist dictator in Cuba. It was really amazing, and he did, I believe he's been his own worst enemy. I don't know how he recovers from it. The only thing I can see is Biden making the same kind of mistake again. The mistakes like bringing Beto O'Rourke on stage and saying, this is the guy that's going to do gun control for me.
You know, here's what I think. Yeah, exactly. Here's what I think, though. I think it actually will be more stops with people like Beto, younger people.
Yes.
I think you're going to see... And Beto is still somewhat the rock star, even though he failed miserably at running for president. I mean, every move he made was just horrible. However, if you've got a much younger guy on stage, getting basically it's the warm up act, right? But it's also the maybe carrying Joe a little bit act.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, there has to be some of that on the road. You can't leave Joe alone on the microphone for too long. That would be my advice if I'm advising the campaign. Don't leave him on the mic for too long. When he does campaign stops, he shouldn't go and try and do a Trump rally. Well,
they were making note last night on all the different networks about all the states he didn't visit where he did great.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
If he wasn't there live,
well, see,
he did really good.
You know, if he had Bloomberg's money, can you imagine? Yeah. Just do the TV spots and a few stops here and there.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the top of the hour, more analysis on Super Tuesday from last night. We got more great audio coming up and a comment from, Nate Silver on his blog. He has not yet updated the forecast yet.
No, they were live blogging the coverage tonight. They've closed that out, but they did a recap on who, you know, what the positions from each of the bloggers, including Nate, and it's interesting what he says there, and what does that say about the forecast? And what did the last forecast before they froze it on Tuesday morning show? That was an update because it happened after we were on the air, but it's a pretty interesting forecast. Mm-hmm. It's going to change as soon as the Maine numbers come in and somebody calls Maine. I don't know if they're going to do that tonight.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com, where we stream live, or get our app and put it on your phone and listen whenever you wish to listen to it. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
He's Eric and I'm Gary. All right, part of the discussion last night immediately came up to what are the Democrats doing now? I mean, where are the Democrats going? Have the Democrats realized that, you know, the party itself, forget about the voter. Well, I guess you can throw the voter in it too, but we saw the rise of Bernie Sanders, and we believe that the actual party in a significant portion, whether it's a majority or how much of it, actually agrees with Bernie Sanders.
Right.
They actually do. I mean, because that's been the narrative for a significant period of time. And say what you want about Obama. And you
okay,
may.
Okay, I will.
And
how much time we got?
Well, but look, you know, you and I remember early on, we got to November, a year out from the election, and Obama still wouldn't wear a flag pin.
Right.
And there was a reason, because he said wearing a flag can be viewed as false patriotism.
Right.
Which, of course, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. False patriotism would be false patriotism. The flag has got nothing to do with it. That's right. How people like us looked at it and said, well, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so the question came up, and it did come up for a significant period of time, you know, how anti-American is Obama? And then he was convinced you got to wear the flag pin. And as we said many times before, it's like if you're the leading candidate to run a company and you're in the company already and they wish to make you president and you go and visit a plant and they say, hey, will you put on the hat of our particular plant here, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that because people will view that as false patriotism. You put on the hat.
Yeah, you do it.
I mean, that's just how it works mm-hmm. when you're trying to sell yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at it, and you know, if you go back to Obama and a lot of the thoughts that he had, look, he went to the Church of Jeremiah Wright, which was the United States sucks.
Mm-hmm.
We all know it. But he was able to moderate in the general election, and then for the most part was not viewed nearly as radical or did not push as radical of an agenda. He may believe in it, but he didn't push it as hard, which is why many people were disappointed with him on the left for the presidency.
Right.
My point is that mindset that the United States sucks
mm-hmm.
is still a huge part of the Democrat Party. And my point in relating back to Obama is it is over a decade old.
Right.
And so it's important to understand that. So the discussion was going on, for example, Fox News, the panel was on there and they were talking about the fact of, you know, that, you know, hey, the Democrat Party still is closer to Sanders than they are Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden's the safe choice.
Right.
And part of what I believe, you know, Sanders did the last couple of weeks just helped to destroy his whole candidacy. Look, yeah, we're socialist. And yeah, we don't believe in the Constitution. We don't believe in freedom of speech. We don't believe in the Second Amendment. We don't believe in the Electoral College. We don't believe in so much of the basis of this country. But you can't frame it in promoting communist dictatorships.
Right.
You know, and, right. and I think that's where they are. The problem with a safe, you know, bet like Biden is, and this is a discussion they're having, a lot of times a safe bet loses. Then they got into the gaffes, and they were trying to make the comparison. Well, the gaffes are just like Trump's tweets. That's all they are. That's how they view it. And I think Britt Hume came up with a really, really great point about the optics and how they are actually different here. Here is from Fox News last night. Here we go.
Times, though, there are two kinds of Biden gaffes. They're the kind he's always made.
Correct.
And maybe this one tonight was one of those. He's prone to that and always has been. It's no big deal. But more recently, we've seen cases in which he didn't know where he was. He didn't know.
Well, listen, Chuck over here has some
Chuck over here.
I was waiting to see who was going to do it.
Those are more disturbing yep. because they suggest that he may be non-compass menace, or at least is headed in that direction.
You know, but it's like the stock market. We talk about things being baked into the market. It's like the investor already accepted that. They expect yeah. that. I sort of feel that that's the way it is with voters, Biden.
But how many of the people who voted for him tonight would agree that he's senile or getting there?
Wow.
I think that's a little...
Yeah, I don't think they would think he was senile. I think that's a little harsh. I mean, it's like when Obamacare passed and he turns to Obama, and what does he say? It's a big blanking deal.
Yeah, that's classic.
And people
that's
think,
a classic Biden.
Right.
That's
okay, and as you can see, I think Juan Williams and even Chris Wallace is taking you off the path that Britt Hume was going down.
Right,
and that's
right.
You're not talking about those aren't the same things.
No.
Trump coming out and blasting somebody on Twitter does not mean he's confused.
Right.
The problem with the optics of Biden and some of the gaffes is, sorry, but you start saying, is he competent to hold it? Is he so confused that he doesn't know where he is? And the question starts coming up. And by the way, there are a ton of people out there that deal with parents that are getting older, that get into their 80s. And I know, you know, I look at my parents, thank goodness they're doing good, but even once in a while with the confusion, you're always on the back of your mind. Is this some kind of dementia?
Right.
Are you becoming a little bit senile? It's just what comes with old age. It's not taking a cheap shot. And I don't think Britt Hume is taking a cheap shot. I think he was talking about optics with Biden. It's becoming. And by the way, the gaffe tonight was he pointed to his sister. Or was it? He pointed to his.
His wife, and it was his sister,
yeah,
or
wife, or vice versa, yeah, whatever yeah. it was. And the fact is, they had just switched,
right? Right.
So, but still, it was something that people noted, and they talk about. You know, Chris Wallace was there, and he referred to him as Chuck. Mm-hmm. And it's the fact that when these things continue, then you wonder about the person who is running for office, whether they're confused. whether because you have such an old group that is running right now, and the youngest person is an extremely vibrant person, you know, in their 70s, who comes off as being younger.
Yeah, right.
Whose posture is, as we have talked before, impeccable. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Optics counts. To sit there and say, well, you guys are talking about the physical characteristics, the optics of what we see, and that shouldn't be important. Doesn't matter whether you think it should be important. It is.
Well, because it's a different kind of confidence. Biden used to carry that kind of confidence. He doesn't anymore, especially in his facial expressions. He is doing some of the Elizabeth Warren pleading. Man, we got to, I'm telling you what, we got to do it. That wasn't Biden in the past. I mean, he doesn't, you know, these gaffes are, well, the campaign stop, where he says, I need a VP who's ready to go at any minute because I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
And the room laughs. He could have left it there. He goes, no, I'm serious.
Well, and that's the problem right there when it's what people are wondering, is he okay?
Calling.
Is he okay? And then he admits, look, I'm really old, and so I need somebody young there in order to give confidence that there's somebody that can continue my administration. Well, you can't then sit there and criticize people. For example, Brett Hume and, you know, Juan Williams. That's a little bit unfair. It's like, well, no, because that's what people are thinking.
Right.
And so that can come off, you know, against you. And say what you want about Trump. He's been vetted completely. You may not like him. You may hate his personality. Yeah. You may be a never-Trumper on the Republican side. That personality supersedes anything of substance of a particular candidate. That's fine. That's not where the majority of people lie out there. If you look at Trump, and you're in the middle right now, you may say, yeah, I really don't like the guy, but you know something? He's shown to be quite competent. And the things that he talks about are actually pretty common sense things that we all believe in. The problem for Biden right now, number one, is the gaffes. Number two, he's running against where he has always stood on many of the main issues that automatically disqualify you as a Democrat.
Mm.
Number one, the crime bill. Number two, illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me add one more. Number three, the wars.
Right.
All three of those things disqualify you. Kamala Harris, we said, would be out because she was an attorney general of her state.
Right.
And because she had to support law enforcement, we said, she'll be gone real quick.
Hmm.
Tulsi, we said, sorry, she doesn't stand a chance. Very pro-military. You're out.
Yep.
You're gone.
You're done.
You have no part of the Democrat Party. The only reason Biden is there right now is because they understand now that the American public views Sanders as so radical. And yeah, now you can say Bernie Sanders is a communist and nobody argues with you.
Right.
That's where it's going. Democrats are now saying we can't have a communist like that in office. They finally went, okay, you know something? It may be what we believe, but we need to do this incrementally. And so we got, you know, look, we got to get Trump out. Biden is the guy.
Mm.
Flawed and all, Biden is the guy, but he's flawed on major issues for Democrats on criminal justice. Look, you can look at Donald Trump and say Donald Trump is more progressive on criminal justice than the history of Biden.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I guess the question comes up, do you get the far left? Is this pushing, nudging Bernie aside, you know, because let's say Biden walks in with a plurality of 47, Bernie's at 45. I mean, you look at tonight, you look at some of the polls. Now, the polls are going to change drastically, and I'm with you. No polls mean anything unless they're polls from this point on.
Right. Next week, I'm not even going to look at the polls tonight. Well, I mean, I've looked at them and went, they don't mean anything. There's no reason to talk about them
because
they're meaningless.
The momentum changed drastically
yes.
in favor of Biden. But you look at the actual projected delegate count, and Biden leads by, I think, 50, I think. I have to go back and look. And so the idea is that what if they come in neck and neck to a brokered convention? Well, now you have something where you have, again, the establishment versus the far left. I mean, you had that in 2016 to some extent, but really that was, that was more about Congress and who would work with Trump and wouldn't work with Trump and the whole drain the swamp, because that's what that meant back then. But right now it's very serious on the left, and it's very, I'm really, really interested to look at the next forecast from Nate Silver. It won't happen until all the counting is done on all the states, so we may not see one until, Wednesday afternoon. I don't know. But the right now you're looking at it, delegate, in terms of the delegates, they're kind of neck and neck. If they go into that convention, neck and neck, and it's a brokered convention, you're still going to have that Bernie crowd that is not going to be happy because Biden comes away with a nomination.
Well, in the big states, Biden wins Florida,
mm-hmm.
Sanders wins New York.
Right.
Now, will that change in New York?
Hmm.
Or is New York much like California, where Sanders, when you look at it, is, up 31 to 21?
Hmm.
But if Bloomberg wasn't in, because Bloomberg getting 16,
right,
would Biden dominate California? If Bloomberg is out by the time you get to New York.
Right.
And again, I don't even want to look at the New York poll because none of it matters anymore.
None of it.
Everything has changed up to this point. Everything from this point forward, you may be able to look at and say, okay, where are we going next week?
Mm-hmm.
But you really can't go much forward than next week.
You can't go much further.
Because we don't know who will attempt to self-destruct. But I'm sticking by the fact that it's not just the fact, that Biden won South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Bernie self-destructed. Because he could not get off talking about the highlights of a communist dictatorship.
Right.
And the party just went, sorry, you can't do that yet.
Exactly. And it's,
we're not there yet as a country. It's what we mostly want what you want, Bernie, but the country isn't there yet. It's not electable.
Right.
And so if Bernie Sanders fan, if you're a Bernie Sanders fan, you ought to be ticked off at him.
Well, but, unfortunately for the left, it's blame anybody but the person who's responsible.
Yeah. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's head to you. We go to Randy in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Randy, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, gentlemen. I can't tell you what a big impact you guys have had on my life, and I've been an RN for, 23 years now, so thank you guys both.
Thank you.
This scene reminds me of those two old guys from the Muppets fighting over the presidency, and it's a bad scene from Sesame Street. I can't just get this out of my mind. What's the slogan going to be? I'm going to be your president, but I won't be around long, so she will be. who is he going to pick for his VP choice? Because I think that's going to be a big, big thing.
Yeah, I think it is going to be somebody much younger. In terms of Biden, we'd think it would probably be Klobuchar. If Bernie came away with the nomination, maybe Warren. But I don't know that, the point, and thank you, Randy, for the call and the kind words. We appreciate that. You have to think in terms of Klobuchar becoming president if he picks her. And the campaign knows that people will consider, okay, who is the Veep pick? Because let's all face it, there's a possibility, right? for whatever reason that Joe can't fulfill the job or something horrible happened, and we don't wish that, but you know the voter is going to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
And so does the voting base look at the VP pick as somebody who is presidential? You know, I remember, I forget which magazine it was. I don't know if it was Newsweek or Time magazine back in the day when Reagan was in office. And they had this illustration on the cover of the magazine. And it was Reagan lying in a hospital bed and George H.W. Bush sitting beside him. And there was a question in the headline, something like, do we want this man to become president? And then, of course, later he did. But it was, you know, they, of course, the media, the leftist media hated. They didn't like Reagan and they didn't like George H.W. Bush back then. There has to be that consideration. It has to be somebody who could fulfill that role. If you look at a Mike Pence, he's a guy, if something happened, heaven forbid, he could become president and be presidential. So who fulfills that role? Here's your forecast.
Showers will continue today across the South, and we can include Texas in a good amount of rain today. Some severe thunderstorms could be possible in extreme southern Texas. Potential for severe weather will extend from the Louisiana border over to the panhandle of Florida today, as colder air comes in out of Canada, meeting up with warm, moist air from the Gulf. In the Northeast, we'll see a mix of rain and snow today. Most of central Pennsylvania will be picking up some areas of light precip into the portions of central New York, where we could see an ice-snow mix. Rain for the coast from the northern Delmarva Peninsula in through New Jersey, New York City, and Boston. Again, that's all rain. Some energy moving onshore for Washington and Oregon, providing onshore rains. And part of that system will drop some heavy snow in northern Montana and Idaho. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by the TruckSmart mobile app from Travel Centers of America. Download TruckSmart today to get what you need when you need it.
It's a No Malarkey Morning. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara. Red Eye Radio.
Andy, he is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. To you we go. Let's go to Mark in Dallas, Texas. Mark, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, enjoying your show, and it's been kind of an exciting night. I'm a moderate, and I saw Biden from a distance in South Dallas last night. And I went to a Republican watch party today to watch some of the primary stuff come in. Bernie had a decent lead when the early polls were coming in Texas, and Biden came back and clipped him. And I think, just as you accurately said, I think Democrats are waking up, and there is a trade-off. I don't think anybody can beat Trump, but I think Biden is the one with a prayer. And Bernie, Biden, and the Don himself, those three guys aren't getting any younger, but it's going to be interesting. I would have never thought that somebody like Bernie could even remotely take Texas or win the Democratic nomination. I just can't believe I'm even saying that, but I guess the right said something similar about Trump last year, the ones that didn't want him, and something happened. And in their own ways, Bernie and Trump are kind of revolutionaries, and I know people that like them both, even though they represent opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, I always thought that Trump could win Texas.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No question.
You know, the last time a Democrat won Texas was Jimmy Carter in 76. I don't think that's going to change in 2020.
No, it isn't.
Eric, I don't think you or I are surprised at all that Biden won Texas. I was always looking at when Sanders was in the lead in the polls, and we went, but as soon as you had Buttigieg and Klobuchar endorse him. And then, as you were talking about during the break, as soon as Beto was at the rally last night, it was a slam dunk, or 2 days ago.
Yeah, right.
When Beto was there, it was a slam dunk at that point.
Yeah, right.
That Biden would win Texas.
Well, especially with the blue counties where Beto does well, of course, his old district in El Paso. But you look at the blue counties down in San Antonio, Bexar County. Probably, I'd love to see the breakdown of Travis County. That being Austin, and that's probably, I'm guessing, favored Bernie. But it depends on the demographics that you're looking at.
Now you got me interested.
I know.
It's right? Like, okay, I got to see what how Travis County voted.
But you see, there was Beto had a very high favorable rating with Hispanics. So those blue districts around San Antonio, also Will Hurd's district. Everything basically from San Antonio south that are blue districts and counties, Biden, I'm guessing, benefited from being on stage with Beto. Beto didn't translate on the big stage outside of Texas, but he did have a favorable rating in those areas in Texas. It's interesting if you take Bloomberg out of the picture. Now, right now, only 93% of the precincts are reporting in Texas, but if you took Bloomberg out of the picture and assume those votes went to Biden, because they would have.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to go to Warren. They weren't going to go to Bernie, for sure.
Right. Anybody, we're pretty safe in saying anybody who would vote for a former Republican who initiated stop, question, and frisk, in order to be accurate there, stop, question, and frisk, and is a billionaire, probably the vast majority of Bernie Sanders supporters would not support.
Right. And
would
he would
support them and vice versa.
Which means Biden would have come away with about 1 million votes.
Yeah.
If you add the votes right now that he has and Bloomberg has, it's right at 1 million. And that's significant. So the question is do you see more Bernie fall off between now and you're going to see momentum for Biden. Bernie's not going to do well at all in Florida. I don't even think he's going to be viable in Florida. So Biden takes that. And it really comes down to whether or not Bloomberg stays in. Bloomberg may well decide, okay, look, we gave it a run, and he may come out and he may endorse Joe Biden. If Bloomberg does that, if he endorses Joe Biden, not just drop out, but endorses,
it's
going to be runaway.
It's done.
It's going to be runaway.
Doesn't matter what Warren
does
at that point.
Exactly.
I don't think it matters what Warren does now. Right now. Yeah. Yeah, again, you don't know what type of, again, it all depends on Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and I haven't heard an argument that's good against it. I believe that Sanders self-destructed.
Yeah, right.
He self-destructed over the last 10 days. It's on him. He blew it. But Biden has the potential to blow it, too, because you never know what he's going to say next, do you? You just don't know.
And I think that the party is willing. If they're going to lose, they would rather Biden lose to Trump than Bernie.
I'm looking here at the latest polling from Florida, and we said you can discount most of the polls because of, well, some, you, I, there actually some is some legitimacy, because if you look at the latest St. Pete poll that was 2,700, huge sample in Florida,
right?
2,700 likely voters, done the 25th and the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Biden 34. Bloomberg 25 in second place, Sanders 13.
Yeah.
It's a runaway.
Yeah.
Because the only difference, the reason that Biden doesn't have his 26-point lead that he had in January in Florida is because of Bloomberg.
Yep. And that probably comes down to a lot of New York transplants.
Right.
And so I don't, you know, again, it gets back to what does Bloomberg really want? If he believes the brokered convention is his only shot, and he's arrogant enough to think that that's going to work and he's going to come away with a nomination, that's not going to work. Not with the momentum shifting the way it did yesterday. It's not. And he has to see that. So at that point, you're just a spoiler. But again, arrogance plays into it because it's him. It's Bloomberg. He's that arrogant.
I'm trying to find some, see if there was a latest poll for New York. See if anything new came in. No, still the one from Siena College that had Sanders at 25. Now, this is where Biden becomes viable in New York. Sanders with 25, Bloomberg with 21, Biden with 13. Before that, before Bloomberg got in, Biden was winning in New York.
Well, and we know this. I mean, Bloomberg doesn't want a billionaire hater in the White House. And he's not going to get to the White House unless something happened with Joe and he took it to convention and he thinks that something may come out on Ukraine or his son, or he thinks that the gaffes will do him in. I mean, that's the only way he would stay in. But Politico reporting just a few hours ago that he's considering dropping out. Bloomberg is considering dropping out. Now, they're citing sources. And it probably, I think you could make a better case this morning.
Well, I think so.
Than a couple of days ago.
I think the greatest sign was, you know, he was, you know, looking at the free food yesterday.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And touching the free food.
Yeah, and licking his fingers.
Licking his fingers. So, yeah. I mean, I think that was a key. Boy, what a, you talk about that. It's going to be looked back at one of the biggest miscalculations ever in political history. You think about just because of the money that was spent.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if he decides to stay in till next week, then we're talking about he may be close to $1 billion at that point spent. And completely wasn't prepared at all.
No.
And as we said, there never seemed to be a self-awareness of what party, based on the things that he had done in the past and supported in the past, and understanding that, and I was telling you yesterday, I forgot what it was, but he was, on the Fox News one. All he was doing was apologizing for what he had done before.
Right.
And it was like, don't you understand? You would have been, seriously. He would have been better to say, I'm going to run. And if you're going to blow that money and you want to make an impact, and the impact would be, I want to run in 2024. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You run as an independent and you run backing all the things that you've done.
Right.
And say, yes, I'm tough on crime. Yes, I'm this, but I'm not him.
Yep.
And so you run as an independent. Now, you may lose a Democrat vote come the next time, but the fact is you said, but he spent the whole time apologizing, and it was like, what was this whole thing for?
Right. Well, I think it's the arrogance, the incredible bubble that he's been living in most of his political career, really, in New York City. I mean, de Blasio entering the race, and the whole party basically a huge resounding no. No, we don't want you in this race. I mean, they pushed him out faster than I've seen anybody pushed out. But they live in that bubble thinking.
Beto stayed in longer.
Exactly. I mean, because it's a big job, you know, being the mayor of New York. But you live in that bubble thinking that everybody loves you outside of New York, and that's not the case.
I figured out the Beto thing.
Mm. What's that?
That, you know, I don't believe he'd get a high position inside if Biden won inside the White House.
Mm.
I don't think, because you had said Beto for vice president. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to take that, Campbell. Because if you're looking at Biden, you're like, okay, who might serve next? No.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that he is probably looking for long-term employment within the party. And because the first thing was Beto, Biden? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? He's a Sanders kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
he looks at it and say, what's the safe bet for secure employment for the future somewhere in my political party? And it's to sit with the establishment,
well, sure.
Is it not?
Well, it is, and you could look at that and say, all right, I helped Biden win Texas. I helped Biden win Texas, and he did in the primary. I do believe it had an impact. I really do believe that, because inside of Texas he has that following. So there was some there was some impact. And maybe if Biden were to win, he comes back to Texas and helps Beto campaign for, I don't know, Senate run, a House run, who knows, governor. I don't think he would do very well against our current governor.
No.
Because the favorability rating is huge.
Through the roof.
Huge for Greg Abbott. But the if he wanted to run for office, I think you get that. All right. He's got a long-term favorability inside the party. He rebuilds, I guess, that favorability slowly. And he does it with the help of Biden if Biden wins.
More of your comments on the way. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, more of your calls coming up. A lot of people wanting to comment on Super Tuesday. By the way, I was just doing some research here, looking at the turnout. For example, in Texas, which probably will approach, it looks like for Democrats, I'm guessing here at anywhere between 1.7 and 1.9 million people came out to vote for Democrats.
Mm.
You know how many people came out and voted in the GOP primary?
You were just telling me. 1.8?
Yeah, it's going to be for all Republicans that came out and voted for a candidate. About 1.9 million, it could be close to 2 million people in a primary that doesn't matter.
Right. Interesting looking at some of the different counties in Texas, and we were wondering about Travis County, and Travis County did go for Bernie Sanders in a big way, 37.5% over Biden's 23%. Elizabeth Warren got 22%. So if you take Elizabeth Warren out of the picture there, then Bernie would have, in Travis County, that would have been massive numbers in that county alone. He also took Bexar County. So let's see, it was a little bit closer, 32.6%, just trying to measure the impact of Beto O'Rourke being at that stop with him the other day. You get out to El Paso, Bernie still does very well. And so he leads in most of these blue counties there along the border.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.